Please remain standing for the reading of God's Word, and we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as we continue on our series on the book of 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 12, and starting at verse 12, and this is the word of our Lord. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one members, but many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor. And our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members individually. This is the word of our Lord. Let us pray together. Father, we pray that you'd open our eyes that we might see Jesus Christ beautifully and powerfully in this word. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Have you ever been in a team in which somebody did not carry his or her weight? Ever been involved in a project in which a co-worker or a co-student did not do what he or she should do? Or worse yet, have you been part of a group in which somebody talked a lot about how good they were and how much they could do, yet did nothing? I think if you're alive, you've been part of something like that in your lifetime. We all have been in situations in which the team or group we were part of suffered because one or more members didn't fulfill his or her assigned duties. I remember in high school, or actually in college in Brazil, I'd hate group projects because essentially group projects meant teacher does the work, everybody gets the grade. And the part of my doing the work didn't bother me so much. What bothered me more is that the other people getting the grade, which I have to acknowledge is a prideful thing, maybe a sinful thing. But I think all of us have been involved in something like that. Every part of the team suffers when a member is not functioning as he or she is supposed to. And Paul says that this is true of the church as well. One of our desires as elders of this church is that we have a church in which people serve people, in which people are loving people, that we effectively seek the kingdom of God, that every part, every member, every part of the body of the church here at the Bible Christian Church of Olympia is actively involved with one another in ministering to one another and to society at large. We want every member of the church to be involved because it is essential to the well-being of the church. But not only that, it's essential to the well-being of each other as well. Remember what the second and third petitions of the Lord's Prayer is? Any guesses? Remember, the first one is, hallowed be your name. Yeah. I just felt like I was in the Peanut movie, listening to the teacher in this Charlie Brown movie. Yes. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We put feet to these two petitions. We put these petitions in practice by being and doing what God has called us to be and do in His church. God has called us to do these things. God's called us to be part of the body, and we bring His kingdom and we do His will by being and doing what He calls us to be and do in His church. In order for us to figure out what we are to be and do in the church of Jesus Christ, we must first figure out what the church is and what the church is not. So let's consider, first of all, some affirmations and denials, which is a popular thing to do these days. Let's consider some affirmations and denials concerning the church of Jesus Christ. And first, what the church is not. The church is not just an organization. The church was never designed to be ordered along the lines of the world's organizational principles. Jack Welch, you know who Jack Welch was for a while? While he was the GE, the CEO of GE, and became very popular in the late 90s, early 2000s, and everybody wanted to know what Jack Welch had to say about management, including church leaders. Well, the church is not designed to just follow along world's organizational principles. It was never designed to follow just business philosophy. So the church is not just an organization. The church is not a promotional agency. The church was never designed to be a selling agency in which people are motivated by advertising, promotion, or gimmicks. The church was never intended to be a business for profit making. The church was never designed to be run by paid professionals who do all the work while everybody else watches. We live in a society in which we are encouraged to be watchers. What do we do at home? Watch TV, yes. Family time, right? We watch TV. We sit at home and watch the world happen on the TV. If we leave home, where do we go to? We go to watch somebody play sports or watch a movie or watch something. We have no involvement. We have no responsibility and no commitment, but we watch. And the church has also fallen into that category as well. But the church has never intended to be a place where paid professionals run it while everybody else watches what's going on. The church was never intended by God to be a community social center where everybody goes because it's a nice place to go, and unlike the country club, it's free. That's not what the church is, not a social club. So what is the church? The church is an organism. It's a living organism. What Paul is trying to say here is that the church is an organism, and an organism is something that is living. It is different than just being an organization. An organization is a structured system, but an organism is a living system. Has anybody here seen a dead body live in person? Not on TV, but dead. Okay, all right. You can look at the body, you can look at the corpse, and say, amazing. Look at it, all the limbs in the right place, the bone structure flawless, all the organs are in the right spot and connected to the right things. It's all there. What is the only thing missing? Life. It's not living. It is an organization at that point, isn't it? But it's not a living organism. Another illustration would be your car. Well, another illustration would be some of your cars. I just thought that some of our cars will not work on this illustration here. Your car is structured, mostly. It has a frame. It has a steel. It has all the little things it needs. That shows my proficiency in knowing cars, all the little things that it needs. And it works to perform a certain function when you carry out things that are commensurate with its structure. But it's not a living organism. Your car is not a living, it's an organization, but it's not a living organism. You can't just call your car and say, come and get me. Well, unless your name is, your car's name is Kit. Otherwise, your car is not going to come and come and pick you up. Well, the church is not like a car. The church is not a highly structured organization with all the right parts and pieces and frame, with nice, comfortable seats, worked on by a bunch of super trained, tremendous technicians and mechanics, and driven by a hotshot preacher. That's not the church, and it's definitely not this church. The church is an organism. It's a living, breathing, vital organism. Every individual in the church is alive. Pulsing through all of us is a life that God has given to us in Jesus Christ. Just as every cell and every member of your body is alive, so everyone in the church is alive. And that's why Paul calls us a body, not a corpse, not a car. Would have been a chariot back in his day. But we're called a body, a living body. And as you look through the New Testament, see how the apostles and Jesus Christ himself called the church. There's always this element of life that is present in the illustrations or the analogies there. The church is called a bride, a living organism. The church is further called a vine and branches, Christ being the vine and we being the branches. Again, a living organism. The church is called a flock. We are the sheep, Christ is the shepherd. Sheep are living, vital, breathing things. In Ephesians 2 and Romans 8, the church is called a family. And we are children calling up Abba, Father. There's always something living and organic about the church. So when God the Holy Spirit wants to show us the church, he shows us in organic terms, in terms that will say to us, everybody's a living part, nobody is in a spectator. But the best, I think, metaphor that has ever been used to define the church is that the church is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 12. Paul says, for as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Now, this is important for you to see. It says, so also is Christ. Use the word Christ, but what is he speaking about? The church. Christ and the church are so united that one can be called the other. Remember when Christ appeared to the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus? What is the first question that Christ asks Paul? Saul at the time. Think about it in your mind. Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Had Saul ever persecuted Christ in person? No. What was Saul persecuting? The church. The church. The church and Christ are so united that we are Christ in that sense. That we are his body and he's our head. We are united with him. Now in Ephesians chapter 1, this imagery of the body of Christ is used for the church universal. So it's appropriate to talk about the church universal as the body of Christ. But here in 1 Corinthians 12, the body of Christ is the local church. Paul is speaking to a particular local church, the church in Corinth, and says, you are the body, and the people in you in your church are the members, and you're to be united. So there's a lesson here that the local church is also the body of Christ. The church universal is the body of Christ, but every local church is a representation of the body of Christ. And these things that we read in chapter 12 then apply to the local body. Now, another thing that strikes me is that Paul calls that particular local church Christ. He calls that particular local church in Corinth the body of Christ. They were totally chaotic. Their particular manifestation of the body of Christ was definitely crippled and out of control. They're not portraying the proper image of Christ in the world. They were of the flesh, Paul says. They were immature. They were sexually immoral. They were selfish. They were proud. They were heretical. They were divisive. They fostered parties of opposition. They were enamored with human philosophy. They identified in little cliques under certain spiritual teachers. They tolerated sin. They were suing each other. They had a strong women's lib movement in the church. They were gluttonous. They were drunk. They allowed pagan worship ritual to be brought into their own worship. They desecrated the Lord's table. They perverted and twisted the area of spiritual ministries. And as a result of all this, the body of Christ was distorted and spastic and chaotic, and yet they were the body of Christ. And we often think, man, that was a bad church. But I wonder if you had a spiritual heart x-ray, and then we could connect it to our collective hearts and plug it into the projector. And have this is your life here. I wonder if we would find all these categories present among us as well. That we wouldn't be as chaotic as the church in Corinth. And as much as that church is the body of Christ, this church is the body of Christ. And we're so united with the Son of God Himself that when the Spirit inspires the apostles to talk about the local church, He calls the local church Christ. And you, collectively and individually, are so united by faith with Christ that when God the Father sees you, He sees Christ. And He loves you. And He doesn't love you any less today than He did yesterday. And He's not going to either love you any more tomorrow than He does today. Because Christ perfectly stands before God for you, if you're believing in Him. So when Paul reaches chapter 12, it is as if he says here, nowhere in any other area is there more discord or disunity evident than in this matter of spiritual gifts. In an area where the body ought to have been functioning as a body, there are just chaos. Everybody was seeking the showy gifts. Everybody wanted the public speaking gifts. Prophecy is better than speaking in tongues. No, speaking in tongues is better than prophecy. No, healing the sick is better than everything else. Everybody wants one of the showy gifts. Do you notice that there's no argument about those that no? You don't find that here, do you? It's the showy ones. It's the ones that put people in front of the congregation. The ones that exalt the self. Those are the ones that people wanted. Nobody was too concerned about saying, you know what? I have the gift of cleaning bathrooms. Don't see that argument here. I feel called to whatever it is that we consider menial here. And because of that prideful attitude to one another, chaos ensued. And usually when there's discord in the church, guess what is at the root of that? Truth, right? Allegiance to Christ. Is that correct? The cause of righteousness. What is often the explanation for discord in the church? Be fair to say pride? Self-centeredness? Selfishness? Lack of love? Lovelessness? I think it's fair to say that. So Paul says, you are the body. In a body, it isn't for the hand to say, if I can't be the eye, I'm leaving. Or I'm frustrated, or I've been cheated. We must allow God to put the body together the way He did it. Accept the sense of divine dignity that God has placed in every member and go about ministering in the area that God has given us. When they began to seek other gifts, the Corinthians, they wouldn't minister the ones they had, and chaos again resulted. Yet it's the same God that gifts everyone in the church with the exact gift that you need, that I need, to serve everybody around me. Do you realize that when we look down at the Church of Jesus Christ, and I don't mean abstractly, I mean in an abstract way, I mean when you look down at the people around us as not worthy of our investment in their lives, we're actually looking down at Christ. Because that person next to us, that person next to you, is a person for whom Christ died. It's a person that Christ said, before the foundation of the world, I'm going to save that person. And I'm going to become like one of them. And I'm going to live a life that he or she cannot live. And I'm going to die the death that that person deserves. And I'm going to come back to life and bring that person to heaven with me. And then we look down upon that person. Who really are we looking down upon? Upon Jesus Christ, in elevating us to the place of God himself. God put us together here as a diverse body. We come in all different shapes, heights, colors, manners of patterns of speech, gifts, equipping, background. And he brought us together in this diverse way so that in our unity, in our diversity, we can be united. Because again, can you imagine a body that's all made of eyes? In your mind for a second, take a minute. Imagine a body that's all made of eyes. Who is willing to describe that aloud to me? No joke, no rhetorical, I mean it. Anybody is willing to describe that body that you just came up with in your head? What? Something from Mission Impossible? No. Oh, no, Men in Black, yeah. You know, you try to imagine a body that's all of eyes. What do you usually... I imagine an outline of a body filled with eyes. Which is not true, right? Because then there's a leg that's made of eyes. There's a hand. That's not the case. It's Paul is bringing us the absurd. To have a church in its diversity that refuses to be united in that diversity and serving one another is like trying to imagine a body with all eyes. It's an impossibility. It's absurd. It doesn't exist. It doesn't function. And that's where we find ourselves when we, in our diversity, become chaotic and unwilling to serve each other. So the church is a unity. The church is one. It is many. It is a unity and yet diversity. Like the human body, the church is one and yet has many members. And we all need each other. Can an eye survive by itself outside of the body? Just little eyes plopping around, plop, plop, plop. No. Can your kidney just kind of walk around? No. Neither can a Christian survive without others, other Christians around him, around her. So listen to this. There are no spiritual loners. There's no outside people. There are no hanger-oners. There are no drifters in the church. There are no spectators. We are one. Each one of us is vital to the organism of the church. And without it, without each other, we suffer. I often use the example of when I was remodeling downstairs, putting a room in, right before one of the boys was born, or before Isaac was born, I can't remember when. And I hit my little pinky. And it was painful for days. I could barely function because my little pinky was hurting. Now, I'm a man, so you women know that that's like nothing. But that kept my body from functioning at its optimum, this fine-tuned machine from working at its optimum. And that, I think, is a very useful illustration to think, even if the smallest part of the body is hurting and not functioning properly, the whole body feels that. And if even the least of us is hurting and not functioning properly, we all experience that. We all experience that. And we need to be about the business of helping each other to not be hurting, but to be growing and maturing into the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our head. So the church is a diversity, but it's brought together in unity because of Jesus Christ, because we need each other. And we need each other to be different. And you might say, I have no problem with that. I can be different. I can be weird. But we need each other to be different. We need each other to complement. We need each other to minister to us the gifts that God has given to each other. The diversity that we have is not accidental. It's not that God said, let's see. Oh, let's see what happens now. No, I threw a bunch of gifts out there. Let's see what happens. No, he appointed each gift here diversely so that we could benefit from each other. The gifts are not accidental. The Lord sovereignly put them us here together. Look at verse 18. It says, but now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. So it pleases the Lord for you to be here. Not because I got some sort of message from him, but because you are here. All that, that's all. You're here. That's what God placed you right now. So it pleases him that you're here. And pleases him that you're here to serve others in the church, in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has set each member in the body as it pleased him. Him personally. So there's no place for discontentment. There's no place for selfishness. There's no place for conceit. Because God is the one that appointed you here. And God is the one that gave you the gift that you have in order to serve each other. So the church is called to be a harmonious mix. Look at verse 24. It says, but our presentable parts have unpresentable parts. Oh, sorry. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to the part which lacks it, that there should be no schism in the body, but what the members should have the same care for one another. No schism, but harmony brought together. So you ask, why am I here at the Bible Presbyterian Church of Olympia? Because God mixed you here for ministry. The word here used in verse 24 says, but God composed the body. Let me explain why I'm struggling so much with reading my Bible. It's a new Bible, and I can't find the verses in it so far. So I'm trying to get used to it. But in verse 24, it says that God composed the body. Paul uses different illustrations here. The word compose means mixing together. It's a term used for mixing colors as an artist would when painting a canvas. So God not only chooses the gifts for you, but he mixes us in with the right people so that the right combination will work in the right location. So why is it you're here? Because you are the right color that God chose to be part of this canvas. He's mixing the primary colors so that we have the right canvas to be a testimony, to be the perfect picture that God wants us to be. Once the Spirit has made you the color he wants you to be, then he transfers you to the canvas of the church exactly in the spot he wants you to be, right next to the other colors that ought to be what they ought to be. We found these this week, some artwork for my children. I wonder if you can see it. It's Teenie's artwork when she was almost three. I think it's from a church event. It's found in a pocket, right? Some coat pocket at home. Beautiful. God does better than that. He puts a perfect color on every spot so that we mix together can be the canvas that he has designed for us to be. And when he's finished on that canvas, you know whose picture is on it? It's Christ. Christ, the church, when it functions harmoniously, is the perfect picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a perfect representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to think of the body of Christ in this way. We are the combination of the primary colors, designed to be a gifted individual like no other. And God puts us right here on the canvas of the church we're strategically placed so that we can be part of the picture that is Jesus Christ. And we have to recognize that we are in a body, and that the body is one, and we are part of that oneness. And we must sense that we were recreated in Jesus Christ to participate in his glorious body, the church. That's what we're called to do. We're called to love the church. We've been baptized into this body. We've drunk of the same spirit. And we have been marked as subjects of love for each other, as objects of love for each other, as we serve each other with our gifts. No room for pride, no room for thinking less of others, but serving the body of Christ so that at the end, the picture that we put up is a picture of Christ, our head, who will lead us. So may the head of the body give us grace to pursue this glorious vision of unity in the body of Christ, unity demonstrated by service of the various gifts in loving each other. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you are a God who uses your word in a powerful way. We pray that the things that were true that were said here today would be applied to our hearts by your Spirit. We pray that in our weakness you'd show yourself strong, and that we would indeed be able to serve each other in your body. Help us to not be prideful. Help us to be selfless toward one another. And help us to together become that picture of Christ that brings all men to you. For us in Jesus' name, amen.